Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
Welcome to King of the Hill podcast. I am Mike.
And I'm Rusty.
Rusty, it's according to how you look at it, but yeah. It's supposed to be season 5, episode 11.
Yes, it is. And we were just talking about it before we started recording. I noticed, I'm sure it happens in every season, but it just, yeah. This one, there's a lot of, and it goes back to the truck episode.
Yeah.
What episode was that?
It was a couple episodes ago.
I'm trying to remember the name, yeah. Though. I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. I think that's it. Is that the episode?
I don't remember.
I don't know. Honestly. Chasing Bobby. It's Chasing Bobby, I believe, because he drives after Bobby.
Oh, you're right.
Well,
yeah.
If you look at all the production order for everything, it's kind of like off because the and somebody had mentioned this in Yankee Hanky.
Yeah.
You see Hank's old truck.
Oh, really? Oh,
and it's It's the next episode right after that. Somebody, I think it was Artie. I forgot to mention it in the last episode, but I thought that was funny that the production order is so screwed in this one that Hank's old truck, if it were to be shown, all the way up to because season episode 14 is actually 5ABE09, so it would actually be ninth in the order of production.
What is it?
It's called the Exterminator. I don't know what the ABE.
I guess
or,
it's like. Second version or something like that. I mean, the maybe. E is episode.
It might just be. It might just be something as innocuous as a designator or something. And it's funny because when you get to season 7, episode 4 of season 7 is actually 6ABO1.
Oh wow!
So it was that far out of order. And season 6 episode 1 is actually 5ABE24. So it's completely.
You start to think that
all the way shifted around.
Fox was really trying to kill the show. I mean, because they screwed around
yeah,
with it
maybe,
so much.
Maybe.
They
yeah.
had such a good thing on their hands and they screwed around a ton. All right. So we're looking at Hank and the Great Glass Elevator.
Yeah.
This one is one that a lot of people remember for the guest star that's in it. It is kind of a one off. Like, it doesn't have a lot of continuity continuation stuff
yeah you
other than the story about Lenore, that's about it.
You know? Get Ann Richards in it,
yeah.
which I'll go ahead and knock out our first Artie fact for the day. So Ann Richards, she was actually born not far from where we're at right now, Mike.
Yeah, where?
She was born in the Lacey Lakeview area.
Oh, okay.
And she first came to national attention as the Texas State Treasurer. She gave a keynote address at the 88 Democratic National Convention. She became the second female governor, and she was governor from 91 to 95. Some of her famous sayings are, he, meaning George W. Bush, he can't help it. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Mm-hmm. He was born on third base and thinks he hit a triple. I like that one.
That's a really good one.
that is as southern as it gets. Really good, yeah. That boy was born on third base and thinks he hit a triple. And she's really country too. If you ever listen to Ann Richards, she was
across,
a real country girl.
Comes across in this too.
And to put it to perspective, she was born in 1933 what would be Lacey Lakeview area. It was called Lacey and Lakeview. They were two separate areas at the time, and she was born in the Lakeview area. But it's kind of cool that she was born in this area here.
Let's see. Ann Richards, former governor. Oh, she died in 2006.
Yeah, she's recently – not recently passed, but, yeah, she passed some years back.
I could not tell you. And she does have the designation of being the last liberal – governor of Texas.
Yeah, she. The reason why I like talking about her right here for this episode is just the historical relevancy to Waco. She graduated. She's a Waco High graduate. She graduated from Waco High in 1950. Yeah. She attended Baylor, earned a bachelor's degree at Baylor. Then she moved to Austin, and that's where she got a teaching certificate. She was actually on a debate team scholarship. On a debate team scholarship. That's perfect.
I do remember her being a teacher. I remember that being a big deal. But had you not said it, I probably wouldn't have remembered
Like I said, I never knew that she was from this area in that way. You know what I mean? Like, actually went to school here, college here.
So, you know, as far as memories of Ann Richards, I mean, I remember as being a decent delegator, you know, and a decent politician.
She tried.
The only thing I can say that she really screwed up was the lottery. And we've talked about that before. It's the fact that the lottery money was supposed to be earmarked for education, and instead it all goes in the general fund. So that means it goes straight into people's pockets.
It just goes straight into people's pockets, which wasn't – I don't feel like that was like her overall intent that it was going to end up – she thought that people would be – she put more faith in man than she should have.
Yeah, and I think that now, if you know anything about Texas, there's a lot of talk about gambling. Bringing casinos and stuff like that here.
Which they should.
I agree, but I think it's going to be the same argument. You know, the money will go to education and we'll be able to blah, 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 blah. And then it'll all go in slush fund somewhere. Because I can't trust these people.
Well, another good thing that she tried to do, but she tried to do, but wasn't really able to be successful. She tried to decentralize control over education policy and leave it up to like individual government, like local governments and stuff like that. Yeah. Which it can be good and bad. There's pros and cons to that too.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I don't think she wanted a voucher system like our current governor. All right, so we start season 5, episode 11, or 5AB, episode 12, whichever way you want to look at it. Hank in the Great Glass, no bell, no yell. We start in front of Strickland. All three guys, so Bill, Boomhauer, Dale, they all drive up in a red convertible.
Yeah,
red convertible. That's never explained. Like, where'd you get this red convertible, Dale?
Nah, it doesn't say anything about it.
Dale's in a very loud, like, Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, so the episode is called Hank and the Great Glass Elevator, of course. Yeah. So everybody that doesn't know, that's obviously a tongue-in-cheek to Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator by Roald Dahl, which became the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
So speaking of Roald Dahl. Have you seen the big letdown of the Willy Wonka experience?
I did see that in Glasgow, Scotland. They had that. Did you see the image though? Did you see that?
Yeah.
That had been a viral marketing for something.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Underlying, there has to be there had to been some type of, it couldn't have been a serious thing. It had to have been a viral marketing gag.
Well, I mean, and this is one of those things that we're going to see over and over with AI. You know, they promise this thing, and kids get there, and it's just like a garbage dump. I mean, there's just nothing.
Pretty
there.
Much, it was just that one image of that chick that you saw at the table.
Well, it's her, but then I also saw like the hall part where there's this little rainbow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's like a plastic sheet on the back wall,
and that's
stuff
it.
Like that. Yeah,
yeah. It was terrible. It
and
was funny
the,
though.
The guy that was going to play Willy Wonka, he said that he was given a 12-page script.
Oh, wow.
That obviously was all generated via AI because there was all of these weird things that happened in it. He said it was kind of scary. There was this great unknown that was going to try to steal all the chocolate and stuff. And then on top of that, you had this woman who claimed to play the great unknown, and that wasn't even her. So she was BSing, and then now It's just a friggin' mess. That is a mess.
That's one crazy dumb thing.
It was
just in Scotland, too, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's nuts. All right, so the guys pull up in front of Strickland in a red convertible. Bill's already singing, "Someone's got a birthday, I wonder who. Someone's got a birthday, I wonder who." And then Dale pops up out of the car whenever Hank comes out of Strickland. He goes, "What do you think of the car, Hank? It's convertible. Nothing says road trip like a convertible, except for a kite." And he pulls out a kite that's in the shape of a butterfly. I don't know why road trip says a kite. Hank, of course, being Hank, "I can't just leave work 10 minutes early on a Friday afternoon. Come on, Hank, you promised." Hey, this is Bill saying this. "Come on, Hank, you promised if you find a date for my birthday, you, Dale, and Boomhauer would be my dates." "No, I didn't," he says. "I said we'd all go to Austin for the weekend." Dale says, "Let's go. Let's get there." Again, Hank being Hank, "I have a job as assistant manager of Strickland Propane. My day begins at 9 and ends at 5, not 4:50. 4:50.
That's terrible.
10 minutes. And, yeah. And from what you can tell at Strickland, ain't nobody else there.
There's nobody there. He didn't even have emails to read.
So he goes in, he sits down, and you see the clock, and he just sits there. And then you see the time pass. 10 minutes later, then he comes out, comes back out, and Bill is still, "Somebody got a birthday, I wonder who." And so they take off. Next thing we see is Luann's backyard. She is having a big pool party. Peggy and Bobby come over because I guess she's invited them. There's a lot of assumptions in this episode.
A lot of assumptions.
But Luann says, "Welcome to my end of semester party. I never thought finals would be over, but by this time next week, they will be." This makes no sense.
Yeah, they're not even over yet.
Guy comes up with a squirt gun, starts squirting her, blah, blah, blah. So we see all this food on this table, and Peggy picks some up. She goes, "Oh, little plastic swords instead of toothpicks." Very British.
Very British.
It's
yeah.
Not British.
Not at all. I can honestly say I've never seen a little plastic sword at any British dinner table.
So she picks up a hamburger, and she takes a bite of it, and she goes, "Oh, this is the most delicious burger I've ever eaten." Bobby picks it up, and he goes, "Oh, thanks a lot, Mom. You built it up so much, there's no way that burger can be that." And she shoves it in his mouth, and he goes, "Oh, delicious."
You know what else is delicious?
Yeah.
Beef and ale. Pie.
Beef and ale pie.
Yeah, that's what we're having for dinner tonight.
Oh, it's like it's British. Made with Guinness, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Or beer. Just you, yeah. Know, you don't have to use Guinness, just beer or whatever.
Next thing, they're in the convertible Cadillac car, and they're going down the road. I don't know if it's Cadillac. I just like that.
Yeah, I like that. Cadillac car.
The butterfly kite is flying, keeps hitting Hank in the face in the back seat. He goes, "You see, that's why you don't fly a kite in a car." Well, that's good. It's good advice, Hank.
Yeah.
By the way, Duran Duran is playing on the radio, and Bill says, "Who minds if I take off my shirt?" And Hank's like, "I do." Dale said, "Not me. Let's switch shirts." And then they all start taking their damn shirts off,
yeah,
except
weird.
For Hank. And he goes, "Dale." He has to take the wheel while Dale's trying to take his stupid shirt off. And he goes, "Hank, if you're staring, who's taking off your shirt?" All right. Now we're back at Luann's party. Peggy goes up to Luann. She goes, "Luann, you ran out of burgers, and I think I know why. They are delicious, and we ate them all." Luann says, "Oh, no problem. I'll just grill up some more." And she does the unforgivable. She picks up the charcoal and starts lighting it up in her grill. Peggy goes, "Charcoal?" And then they drop their plates, and they just run home as fast as they can. Bobby says, "Oh, maybe no one's ever taken time to tell Dad how much better charcoal is." Peggy says, "And no one ever will." And she starts taking her clothes off to wash them right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and then I'm going to go ahead and read this next line. Yeah. She says, "Now strip off your clothes, put them in the washer, and throw in some fish sticks."
Fish sticks.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Like, well, she says, "Your father has got a nose like a Doberman."
I doubt he could smell fish charcoal sticks. Smoke on a washed clothes. Yeah.
All right. So
that's a way to waste a couple of fish sticks.
Right. The guys come driving into Austin. They pull up in front of the Austintennial Hotel, which I don't think is a real thing.
I've not ever heard of it.
Yeah. Bill says, "I know this hotel. It's where Lenore and I spent our honeymoon." And they go inside, and it's just this big, beautiful hotel, multiple floors, glass elevator. I mean, it's just this beautiful thing. Got a big fountain out front, you know, all these plants and stuff inside. Bill points over and goes, "That's the couch where I slept." During his honeymoon.
During his honeymoon, yeah, it's terrible.
They come up to the check-in. Dale says, "Hello, I am Gribble of the Gribble Party. We requested four standard rooms on your kosher floor." What the hell's a kosher floor?
I have no clue. A blessed floor, or or he blesses the mop water.
Yeah,
according to the Google.com-er here, a Google.com'd glass elevator hotels in Austin. Well, there's one that has a hotel that goes from the – it's a glass elevator that goes from the bottom floor all the way up to the rooftop hotel.
Oh, wow.
Restaurant. Rooftop restaurant, not hotel.
Well, what is it?
It's called the Lauren at Lady Bird Lake.
Oh, okay. So it's way out there on the lake. Like, that's an expensive hotel.
That is well, it's not way. It's on the downtown area off the
But I'm saying it's on the south side, not on the north side. It's got to be if it's Lady Bird, if it's named after Lady Bird.
Yeah,
it's gotta be over there, I would think.
It's by I know exactly where it is. I want to say it's by the Lamar.
It's by the All You Can Eat Falafel place.
I don't know. I don't know.
All right, so they're driving into Austin. They pull up in the Austincentennial. Bill says that's the couch where I slept. Dale says we requested four of your standard rooms on your kosher floor. The clerk at the desk says, "I'm sorry, sir, we don't have a kosher floor." Dale's like, "This is an outrage! How do you intend to placate me?" Because I mean, all that was about Dale getting a better room out of the room.
Yeah. It's across the it's across the lake from the Austin Centric the library.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's right there by like the auditorium shores. Hank, like that.
Hank says, "Would you knock it off, Dale?" Because he's getting embarrassed. And Dale says, "Wait till my pastor hears about this. My God is a vengeful God." The clerk says, "Sir, please, we don't discriminate against whatever you are. I'm sure there's some way we can accommodate you." He goes, "How about a suite on the club floor?" So the guy says, "I'll see if one's available." He says, "I'll need four keys." Hank, not wanting to be a part of any of this shenanigans, he goes, "Make that three keys. I'll take the standard room. One key, one shampoo, no conditioner." Like they make that distinction.
Whatever that means, yeah.
Dale says, "Don't mind him. He's at the school marm convention." All right, now we're back at Hank's room. He is in the bathroom sink washing his socks out and hanging them on the shower rod.
Yep.
Somebody knocks at the door. Hank answers it. I'm sorry. No, not knock the door. They ring the phone. Hank picks it up. Hank Hill. And you hear Bill on the other side, "Please hold for Dale Gribble." Like he's his secretary. Dale comes on. "Hank, we're making a fort out of all our furniture." He's walking around with a towel on his head, of course, because he's taking a very long shower. "Come on up." He goes, "Wouldn't you guys rather grab a bite? You know, according to the hotel magazine, the lobby restaurant makes the best fajitas in town." Dale says, "Not interested." He just clicks the phone down. And then it's kind of a sad little shot. You see Hank just sitting alone and kind of lonely on the bed. Like he's got nothing to do. Next thing we see, we're at the Megalomart. Peggy and Bobby are in there shopping. And Peggy is rolling a full size like truck tire down the alley.
Yeah.
I don't remember a store where you go in and just get to pick out your own tires.
Like that anyway.
You don't just
Sears?
Get to pull them off and roll them. No, you just don't roll them down the aisle.
You don't just take them to the register at Sears, throw them over your shoulder.
No. She goes, "Now, when your father asks us what we did while he was gone, we can say we got new tires for the car, and it will be true."
You know, imagine that, like. As at some point in history, you could probably do that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like
I would think.
I don't know. You know, I don't even think even in the early 1900s you would have done something. Hard to see somebody rolling let me get these 20 inch tires, these 15 inch tires.
Getting them on your car.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like you know,
yeah, because they've always had tire services.
Yeah, most places where you buy these things, they put them on for you. And what are you gonna do with the old tires?
Yeah,
blah blah blah. All right, Bobby says, "Mom. Free with purchase of a 100-pound bag of charcoal," and he points at it, and it's just this beautiful display with a little grill that you get if you buy all this charcoal.
Yeah.
So we know we're in trouble. Next thing we see, Peggy and Bobby are grilling. But they're out at the Hudspell Drive-In. That's all I could make out.
Okay.
On the marquee, it says Harry and the Ender-ons. So it's obviously Harry and the Hendersons was the last thing
Harry
to play
the
there.
Yeah.
But all the letters are falling off and stuff, and they're sneaking grilling out in the middle of this dead drive-in. All right, now we're back at the hotel. Dale and the guys come walking by, and Hank is sitting in the restaurant, obviously enjoying the town's best fajitas. And Bill goes, "Oh, Hank, there you are." He goes, "Hey, guys, want to go hear Jerry Thomas play on the piano in the Starlight Lounge?" The gal at the front desk said he was good. Dale says, "We just saw him. He is good." And by the way, Dale is riding piggyback on Bill, and they're all drinking like cocktails from little tiny boots. Like they've got little boot-shaped cups.
Yeah.
Anyway, they say, "We just saw him. He's good." Bill says, "Come on, Hank, let's go moon the lobby from the glass elevators." Hank is not this guy.
Definitely not Hank.
Never this guy.
He definitely not somebody that's going to pull his pants down, yeah.
He goes, "We're the hotel as guests." Dale goes, "My God, Hank, can we ever have a party you don't poop? You still owe me one from high school when the whole team moon belted and you just held up a sign saying, 'Good game.' It was the single greatest time I've had with my pants off." Hank says, "The vice principal gave you a week's detention for that stunt." "Nobody remembers detention, Hank. Everyone remembers the mooning, except for you, because you weren't part of it. Let's go!" And they leave Hank. And then they all get into the glass elevator. Hank's like, "Oh, wait for me." He finally, like, I guess he's had enough of just being lonely or being a stick in the mud or whatever, and so he runs up with them. And Dale's like, "Hank, you made it." He goes, "Mind if I butt in, birthday boy?" He goes, "All right, let's go." And Dale is – anytime Dale is telling you what to do in a
it's
situation –
it's probably a bad idea. You probably should never listen to Dale, yeah.
Yeah. He goes, "Big smile, lots of energy, going up and going down." They all get in the elevator. He goes, "Drop them in 5, 4, 3, 2, yeah, shake your booty." Hank is the only one that drops his pants.
Yeah, they all fool him, yeah.
And Hank is so proud of himself. He's like, I'm doing it. I'm a mooner. I'm part of it.
Yeah, I'm a mooner. There you go.
And then you see down.
I'll pay somebody like $50 if you get "I'm a mooner" tattooed on you.
You see down in the lobby where they're having like some sort of gala, and there's a guy at the podium, and he says, "Which is why Meals on Wheels is proud to honor the former governor of Texas, the Honorable Ann Richards."
Which is voiced by the Honorable Ann Richards.
Right.
Yeah.
But
she actually does
they
the
look
voice.
Up, and there's Hank's ass.
Yep. Big old mooner.
Just on display, as Ann later calls it, his bony ass sticking out at her. Hank turns around, sees it, and gives the biggest "bah" you've ever heard.
Yeah, that's in the top 10 "bah"
yeah,
moments
definitely.
For Hank.
The last two episodes, honestly, the biggest "bah."
Anybody of authority like that, and Hank displaying his rear end is actually a woman as well, a female authority figure. Yeah.
All right, and that takes us to our first commercial break. We'll take that, and we will be right back.
Pew.
Snack Attack is a podcast about the history of your favorite snacks, candies, and treats. Each 5-minute or less episode features the history of a great snack from around the world. We'll also visit what the status of the snack is today and give you a little knowledge to lord over your friend. Snack Attack is available anywhere you get your podcasts or at roguemedianetwork.com. Let's get snacking!
Step into the unexpected with Cultastic, or How to Start a Cult Without Really Trying. A podcast where cult creation unfolds in the most unpredictable way. Join us on a unique journey into the world of theoretical cult formation. Unlike any other podcast, each episode of Cultastic is co-written in part using ChatGPT, and we let it decide our fate, good or bad. What makes Cultastic truly intriguing? We don't know what's coming each week. Together with our AI co-author, we'll discover and build this cult, one episode at a time, exploring various aspects of cult dynamics, leadership, and group psychology. Delve into themes of charisma, influence, and the power of group thinking. It's a blend of expert analysis, theoretical exploration, and the unforeseen twists of AI-generated ideas. Remember, Cultastic is an exercise in imagination and education where we weave a narrative one episode and one tenant at a time. Curious about where this journey will take us? Subscribe to Cultastic or How to Start a Cult without really trying on your favorite podcast platform or at roguemedianetwork.com. Let's build this mission to save the people of Earth week by unpredictable week.
All right, and we are back.
Everybody
is piling back into a hotel room. Hank is the only one buttoning his pants. Everybody thinks it's so funny. He goes, I'm going to kick your asses. And then Dale says, why is it always about asses with you, Hank? And then you hear at the door somebody knocking, security, open up. And Dale says, the fort. And they all go into the big sheet fort that they've built over on the hotel furniture. Bill yeah. Bill smacks his head getting in, but they all get into the fort. Hank lets the guy in, and it is like your stereotypical security looking dude. He's got like a flat top, buzzed hair, you know,
earpiece.
Yeah, he goes, all right, which one of you guys moon the governor? Dale says, perhaps you are unaware this is the club floor. I believe we have certain immunities. That's not the way it works, Dale.
Not at all. Yeah, not at all.
Hank says, sir, I officially resigned my room, effective immediately. And then Bill steps up and he goes, no, Hank, I'm the one who mooned. He says, Bill. He goes, let me take the fall for you, Hank. I don't have as far to drop. Now, that is...
that's a good friend, but that's pathetic.
That's honestly the best thing that Bill has ever said.
Yeah.
I mean, because
I don't have far to fall, Hank.
That is being a true friend, and he's self-aware, you know? the man takes Bill down the hall. They go into Ann Richards' room. He goes, Governor Richards... Sergeant Barber William Fontaine Daylord Day to Drew. I mean, he is so like he's at attention
yes, sir, ma'am.
Ann Richards goes, at ease, Sergeant. What may I ask, or why may I ask, did you moon me? He goes, well, I wasn't mooning anything in particular. You know, it's my birthday, and you were just a civilian caught in a crossfire. She says, I'll tell you a little secret, Bill. I had a teacher once that served during World War II, and he mooned Eleanor Roosevelt. He goes, no. She goes, yep. He had the opportunity, and he took it. So
yeah, that's a good joke.
You know,
for whatever reason.
You can see that Anne is not broken up by this. She actually thinks it's kind of funny.
She actually thought it was funny and then had an anecdote for him.
Yeah.
Kind of cute. Maybe a little flirtatious.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so now we're back at the Hill House.
Isn't she, like, much older than Bill?
Oh, yeah.
So this would definitely be, like... someone who's like 20 years at least older than somebody.
I would think so. Yeah,
she's probably in her 70s.
Yeah, I would think so.
So they're probably they're about 49, right? Yeah. I think is what we concluded.
Yeah, something like that. So we're back at the Hill House with Bobby and Peggy. Peggy's got a bag of charcoal. They're starting to head out of the kitchen.
Yeah, they're getting sketchy with
it now. Bobby says, I wouldn't be surprised to find out charcoal is better to heat your house with, too. The phone rings. Peggy answers it. And, of course, you know, the famous Texas way of answering your phone, yellow. And it's Hank on the other end. He goes, hi, it's me. Something's come up I'm not very proud of. And, well, we're being kicked out of the hotel, so I'll be back a little earlier than planned. She goes, oh, okay. Cannot wait to see you. I love you. And then she goes, click. And she's real panicked. She dropped the charcoal. It's all over the floor. Now they're having to scramble to pick up all the briquettes.
It's funny how they're acting about the charcoal. That's the thing that
like
I find funny.
Cheap.
It's like, you know, it's crack like or something, or they're doing drugs behind his back, and they got it. It's kind of like with what was the other episode that they had something similar like that? Peggy in her shoes, how she's always trying to hide her feet,
or when
Bobby messed the house up and he had to do woodwork to repair the table and
him
all that
and
stuff.
So she just tells Bobby he's on his way. Next, we see Bill sitting in a bar, just kind of relaxed with a drink. He's in a big like wingback chair.
Yeah, just kicked back.
Yeah, the other three guys walk up. They go, "Oh, Bill, we were worried sick about you." And then the governor turns around, Ann Richard turns around and goes, don't worry about Bill. I commuted his sentence to dinner for two. So she is hitting on him.
Yeah, she definitely hitting on him.
Hank says, oh, my God, Governor Richards. And then Dale says, Governor Richards, it's been a while. You may not remember me, but I've seen you on TV. That makes no damn sense.
None. Yeah, you may not remember me, but I definitely saw you on TV.
But
time
I've seen
or two.
You on TV. Yeah. I mean, it goes two ways. Bill just kind of like, get out of here, get out of here. Because he thinks.
That's like walking up to a movie star. You remember me? I saw you in that movie about 6 years ago.
All right. So now we're back. Hank is turning off the propane. He's home now. He brings in these steaks that he's cooked on the propane grill. Peggy and Bobby look so disappointed because they're like, oh, my God, this stuff sucks compared to this charcoal. He goes, all right, let's clear the air. What I did to the governor with my bottom was wrong. I hope you can forgive what I did to the governor with my bottom. Peggy goes, of course I forgive you, honey, as I know you would forgive me if I ever lost my head and did something crazy. I mean, not crazy, like kill you with an axe, but, you know, like smaller crazy. All right, Peggy, ooh, just calm down
out,
a little
Peggy.
Bit. And then you see Bobby, he's just dousing his steak in ketchup because he's given up completely on the propane.
Yeah. It's funny too, because he's not far from the truth. Like, it's okay to cook on propane. Like, I don't mind cooking with propane if you're doing like the Blackstone skillet and stuff like that, because you season the skillet to what you want. But whenever you're doing a steak on propane,
flavor.
I like smoke.
I would rather.
I like my meat to have some smoky flavor.
So I would rather. I just use butter in like a real hot pan.
Yeah,
you know,
too.
I mean, it does a fantastic job.
Yeah, it does
and
do
it
a good
sears
job.
Sears it on the outside real quickly.
Well, just barbecue in general. When you're doing something like that outside, I feel like it didn't matter how you season it or whatever you do. If you don't have no smoke rolling for a little bit of flavor.
Yeah, that's why you want that little smoke ring.
Yeah, that's why you want the charcoal. That's why you use charcoal for smoke or wood for smoke. Propane, people say, well, you can put liquid smoke or do this or do that. It's still, there's no way you could get.
Why not just cook it inside at that point?
You can't get a Texas oak flavor.
In your
chicken or your pork or beef or whatever with a propane grill.
Not unless you're doing one of those pellet things or something like that.
You could do that, I mean, but they still have pellets. Smoke generation, though. It's still generating smoke off of some type of wood.
So Bobby's just dumping ketchup on this steak that he thinks is not going to have any flavor.
I hate watching people eat overcooked steaks with sauce.
Somebody orders a well-done steak, it just makes me nuts because I'm like, just order something else. If you don't like it, then just order something else.
It's like people who say, can I get a pizza? Can you hold the cheese, please?
Yeah.
Like,
it's not a pizza.
Don't eat a pizza.
Yeah.
Go eat some bread covered in marinara sauce at the house. Like, just leave
the
pizza to the pizza eaters.
It's just big round breadsticks at that point.
Or the vegan cats. Have you seen that?
Vegan cats.
Okay,
like
so
people are only feeding their cats vegan stuff.
Yeah, well, I saw a Joe Rogan clip where Joe Rogan had eaten. No, he'd eaten some elk meat and posted about, or deer meat and posted about. Oh yeah, I shot the deer. He kicked babies in the face and was about to join ISIS. And he made a joke about it, but he hashtagged vegan in it.
Yeah.
So a bunch of the vegan, you know, social media people came and attacked him and got all over his social media feed. But he saw something about a vegan cat.
Lift their arms to type. You know?
Yeah. Well,
so weak, little stick boys.
But that's what he did. Is he went and little stick boys. He went and looked on the hashtag vegan cats.
Yeah.
And he said it just looked like. All these cats just look super distressed
and super sickly.
That.
These people that feed their dogs and their cats only vegan stuff, that's not the way they were intended to be.
Especially a cat. A dog could eat different stuff like that.
Well,
not solely
will,
that. A dog is more
right.
omnivorous,
but
I feel like.
A dog will eat like carrots and stuff like that.
Cats,
you know, cats
eat meat.
Will not.
They
yeah, cats
meat.
Are just meat.
They're carnivores.
Yeah, very much
like,
so.
Have you ever seen a lion eating a salad?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you don't feed house cats salad. It's very similar in how they function. As far as food goes.
So Bobby is dousing this steak in ketchup, and Hank looks over and goes, Bobby, what are you doing to that steak? He goes, it's a little bland. He goes, I cooked it the way I always cook it.
Ooh, that's painful.
And like under his breath, Bobby goes, I know.
That's painful.
Wow.
That's
got
to be embarrassing to the cook.
Oh, yeah. And we take that serious here.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're back in the alley. You see this black car drives up. It lets Bill out. Ann Richards rolls the window down, and she goes, see you at 7. Hope you can dance as good as you bowl. Bill gets out. He gets a beer. The car drives away, and you just hear, yoop. And then Dale looks over finally, and he's like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, he don't even know what's going on.
And Bill says, what? It's so weird that I'm dating a governor? Hank says, yeah, a little bit, maybe. Yeah, I mean, it is
different.
A little weird.
Yeah, it's different.
Dale says, did you get up her shirt? Good God, Bill.
What
that's
the hell?
That's the first question. Did you get up her shirt? Bill says, no, I should say not. Well, she's taking me to a fancy ball. I should probably shower. And then Hank, it really is a good point. He goes, well, it's nuts, but she does have him showering. So, I mean, that's a plus. All right, so now we're at the gala. Bill, of course, is wearing his full army attire.
Yeah, he's decked out.
He's
Sarge,
decked out.
Yeah.
He is. That's about as dressed as he gets. He says, man, they're both sitting down, him and Governor Richards. He goes, man, that Phil Graham sure is a horse's ass. She goes, yeah. He's the tackiest man in the United States Senate. He says, he's a senator, is he? I just asked him for a glass of wine. She says, Bill, you made my evening. Come on, let's get some air. And they go outside. They go out to a fountain. And Bill, number one, he's got his feet in the fountain just splashing them around.
Yeah,
and is making these little paper boats to float around in the fountain. I mean, it's like a rom-com all
it
of
is.
A sudden.
Yeah, it is.
Know?
It's a little corny.
Yeah. So she puts a little thing in there, and she goes, I christen thee the S.S. Fontaine de la Fer d'Autrive. He goes, Anne, you're the best thing to happen to my life since little Nora ruined it. She goes, your ex-wife? He says, yeah. He says, I used to have the kind of taste for trash, but these days it's all prime rib and filet mignon and tenderloin. And Anne says, are you talking about dinner or are you talking about me? He says, mostly you. And then her boat kind of starts to get away. He goes, your boat, I'll get it. She goes, that's okay. And he picks her up and carries her around the fountain. And it's just like they're splashing and just having a good time, right? Bill says, oh, I stepped on a coin. All right, so now we're back at the Hill House. We're in the alley, but it's all four guys plus Anne Richards standing there drinking with them. And she says, so I said, Ross, just because you own the building doesn't mean you own the salad bar. Get in line. And I'm assuming she's talking about Ross Perot
Ross Perot.
She looks at all the guys and goes, you guys like baseball? Dale says, if you're trying to smoke out the communists, relax. We're all cool. she says, no, I thought you might want to join me at a Rangers
Which
game.
That actually used to be a real thing, McCarthyism,
for those of y'all that don't know. Absolutely.
Ronald Reagan used to be a member of that. A young Ronald Reagan used to snitch on people in Hollywood.
Oh, he was part of that. He was part of that panel.
Yeah.
She goes, no, I just thought you might like to join me at a Rangers game. I can go to the owner's box now. Was she partial owner of the Rangers at one time? Or is she just friends with the owner?
Probably just friends.
All right.
I imagine they're just friends.
Dale kind of whispers to Bill and goes, she's a keeper. Because he can get into the freaking owner's box at this point.
Yeah.
All right. So now Hank is in the kitchen. He goes to get some ice out of the ice maker in the fridge. One of the pieces of ice falls on the floor, kind of goes under the fridge, which happens to me all the time. I don't think they make a good ice maker ever. And he reaches under to get it, and he grabs a charcoal briquette, one that they've missed, right? Next, you see Peggy and Bobby sitting at the kitchen table, and Hank is yelling at them. He is, like, dressing them down here. He goes, you brought charcoal into this house? Peggy goes, I didn't know what it was. Lou Ann asked me to hold it for her. I thought it was drugs. Damn, Peggy. Throw her under that bus faster. He goes, there's soot under my boy's nails. You don't get that from clean burning fuel. Bobby says, you don't get the rich smoky flavor either. He goes, shut your mouth. Now we're going to sit here and pray. They're going to pray about it.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're at another gala. Bill is with her, you know, again, dressed the same way. She's kind of going around and meeting people and shaking hands and kissing babies and all that stuff. She goes, Ann Richards, so glad to meet you. Bill's right behind her. Bill d'Autrive, Ann Date. Ann Richards, so glad to meet you. Bill d'Autrive, Ann Date. I mean, just over and over.
Over
and
over,
right?
Yeah.
He's just following her around. The chef brings out a big, like one of those big silver dome things that covers the meal.
Yeah.
He pulls it off. It's prime rib. He's starting to slice it off, right? And Bill's just like, oh, God. You know, just I mean, his mouth is dripping at this point, right? He wants this prime rib. He looks around, and he hears, hi, Bill. And it's Lenore. She's at the damn gala.
Lenore.
He goes.
Her name sounds like something a boat would make. Lenore.
Lenore. He goes, Lenore. And then he just kind of, and then he passes out right on the floor. And that is the second commercial break. We'll take that, and we'll be right back.
Ned Hillsdale, a hard-drinking, foul-mouthed ex-cop, turned private detective in the city of Chicago. He lives dangerously, loves intensely, and drinks harder than anyone. The very things that got him kicked off the force now make him the city's best detective. Set against the low rumble of sad jazz and the hum of underground crime, Ned Hillsdale, Private Detective, is available anywhere you get your podcasts and at roguemedianetwork.com.
From Boobays, a horror movie podcast, comes Abaddon Eyes, exploring the Hell House LLC universe. In this thrilling podcast, your hosts will guide you through a comprehensive journey across all four Hell House LLC movies by acclaimed writer-director Stephen Cognetti, where we'll uncover the intricate web of supernatural occurrences, malevolent entities, and the unfortunate souls who dared to enter the cursed Abaddon Hotel. We'll look at lore and the immersive universe that is being built before our eyes in the Hell House series. Expect in-depth discussions, expert analysis, and exclusive interviews with cast and crew members, including Stephen Cognetti himself. Join us as we revisit the spine-tingling scares, unearth hidden clues, and discuss fan theories that have emerged since the release of all four films, and talk about the possibility of even more to come. Whether you're a devoted fan or a newcomer to the series, Abaddon Eyes offers an immersive and enlightening experience that will leave you craving more. Subscribe now and embark on a journey that will challenge your courage and leave you questioning reality. Welcome to Abaddon Eyes, exploring the Hell House LLC universe, where the horrors of the Abaddon Hotel come to life through the power of audio storytelling. You can find Abaddon Eyes, exploring the Hell House LLC universe, anywhere you get your podcasts or at roguemedianetwork.com.
While we're on the break, I Googled some stuff. So if you guys want to know more about Ann Richards, there's a 2012 documentary about her political life called Ann Richards, Texas. And then there's also an HBO documentary called All About Ann, Governor Richards of the Lone Star State. And there was a rock opera that debuted in Houston in 2019 at the Fringe Festival, the Houston Fringe Festival, called Call Me Ann, a rock opera. And if you can find that online, please send that to me,
because I just want to
see that. I want to watch that crap. Yeah, that sounds phenomenal.
All right, we're still at this gala. Bill has passed out on the floor. Anne's kind of trying to bring him around. She's patting his hand, trying to wake him up. She goes, come on, Billy, wake up, snap out of it. He goes, oh, I thought I saw a ghost or a horrible hobgoblin. And then you hear Lenore say, how you doing, baby? Surprise.
Yeah,
and
she's got the creepiest voice. She's the devil. She's got the worst voice. Devil.
He goes, Lenore. And Anne says, as in your ex-wife?
Ellen Barkin.
Oh, was it? Oh, that makes total sense.
That's her voice, Ellen Barkin. Yeah, I've been missing out on some of these artifacts.
She says, as in your ex-wife? He goes, oh, excuse me. Lenore, Governor Richards, Governor Richards, Lenore. Well, I should probably go vomit. Back in a jiff.
Yeah.
He just goes off to vomit. All right. So Bill comes into his own house. Lenore is already on the couch waiting for him, all seductive, right?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, well, what are you doing here? I think the question is, why did I ever leave? He said, you said it was because I was fat and bald and I got too jealous whenever you had a date.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, oh, Billy Goat. She says, I'm the one who should be jealous of you showing up in the society pages with the governor on your arms. You look pretty cute in your penguin suit. Remind me of our homecoming court. You were king and that stuck-up Filipino girl was queen. I stole you away. Stuck-up Filipino girl.
Yeah, this is also kind of an incontinuity thing. It was established that Bill met Lenore at a Molly Hatchet concert. She passed out on his lap in 1991.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Molly Hatchet.
There was something I forgot to mention earlier about Ross Perot.
Yeah.
So,
big ears.
So Ross Perot, he was like this huge Texas billionaire. George W. Bush is not a Texas billionaire. He's a Connecticut billionaire who lives in Texas.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Ross Perot was an actual Texas billionaire.
Texan, yep.
And he ran third party. Yeah. He ran third party. And that's a lot of the blame for Clinton's victory over George W. Bush in the 92 election was the vote split, which I think that that might end up happening to Nikki Haley. She might end up she might end up in a Ross Perot situation where they blame Biden's election on Nikki Haley.
I can absolutely see that.
Yeah.
Or I could see blame Trump's election on Nikki Haley. Either way.
Either way.
And so she says, you know, the stuck-up Filipino girl was queen. I stole you away. And she's just kind of rubbing on him the whole time. He goes, yeah, I remember. To the boiler room. She goes, yeah, I remember. You call me at Hotel Arlen. I'm in the handicap room. It's bigger. And she leaves. Now we're in the alley with all four guys. Bill is talking to him. He goes, Lenore swung by my place last night. Dale's like, I told you she'd come back. Of course, that was 7 years ago, and I was trying to make you feel better. And Dale, or Bill says, and now I do. Only 7 years later. Hank goes, dang it, Bill. Lenore showed up because you're on top of the world with the former governor of Texas. Ask yourself this. Where was she when you couldn't stop eating out of that garbage can? I'll tell you where. She was having corn on the cob with that UPS guy. What's his name? Mike. it's this whole story that we don't know.
Yeah,
she's
don't
eating
know
corn on the cob
it,
with a guy named Mike that delivers UPS. Bill says, I'm a grown man, older but wiser, and Lenore is older but still pretty. Dale says, true, Lenore is 10 times hotter than Ann Richards, and Ann Richards is hot. Okay, dude. Now we're at the Rangers game. They're in a suite there. Hank turns to Ann Richards and says, Governor, can I ask you a personal question? She says, sure. He goes, what do you think of charcoal? It's pure evil, right? She goes, Hank, I may be a politician, but I'm not afraid to speak my mind. Now, if you'll excuse me. So she doesn't say a damn thing about it. She never says anything about it. She says, I'm not afraid to speak my mind. Got to go. Bill says, I think I'm going to take my seventh inning stretch early, maybe pick up a couple of Ranger dogs. Ann says, I'll keep you company. He goes, can't a man get his own Ranger dogs? And Ann looks a little worried about this.
Yeah, it's kind of weird behavior, especially when he's been a lap dog for
Lenore,
the whole time.
Lenore is definitely his kryptonite. Yeah. That's all there is to it. Now, we see Bill on a payphone in the bowels of the baseball park, and he's over there talking to, obviously, Lenore. He goes, I miss you too. What are you wearing? Oh, that's a lot of clothes. That's a good joke. He goes, all right then. He sees Ann walk up. He goes, all right then, General. I'm glad you enjoyed your haircut. Yes, sir. Talk to you later. I love you. Ann says, Bill, if you wanted to call Lenore, why didn't you just tell me? He goes, oh, I'm sorry. I just haven't had much practice juggling women. You're not the kind of woman who'd let me juggle her with somebody else, are you? She goes, it's over between us. He goes, oh, we had fun, didn't we, Governor Richards?
Man, why would you? Like, this he literally, over. That's like yeah. that's like having a penthouse suite and then going right back to the trailer park.
Yep.
Man.
He says, we had fun, didn't we, Governor Richards?
She goes, high-class, high-value woman for a gutter snipe.
She goes, from the first minute when your friend mooned me in that elevator. He goes, oh, you knew the whole time? She goes, you took a fall for a friend, and I find that a whole lot more attractive than Hank's bony ass. All right, now we're at Hank's backyard. There's some propane tanks stacked up that spell out happy birthday, so they're finally actually throwing a birthday party for Bill here. Peggy and Bobby come driving up in her car, and she goes, oh, my God, it's Bill's birthday party. Winter fresh me. And she hands Bobby some mouth spray, and he goes, close your eyes. I'll do your hair. He's just spraying her down. So they get out. They go over to Hank, and Hank's got two grills going. And he goes, hey, Peggy, just in time for a burger. What'll it be, charcoal or propane? And, of course, Peggy, you know, just reflex. She goes, oh, propane. It's always been propane. C3H8, clean burning economical propane. He goes, Peggy, enough. I'm not going to force you on propane on you. That's an insult to propane and to you. And then he plates both burgers. He goes, I want you to choose, Peggy, right now. Which is better, charcoal or me? That's a little rough, right?
Because yeah, that is rough.
It wasn't charcoal or propane. It's charcoal or
which
me.
Is rough. That's that's yikes. Absurd. Absurdity at the highest level.
She tries a bite out of each burger with everybody just sitting around watching her. And she goes, well, it's no contest. The propane burger is much better. And she gets all the charcoal burgers, stacks them up, and throws them in the garbage can. Hank says, I'll drive this down to the dump right now. He's talking about the grill and
everything,
and the burgers,
the whole,
and everything.
All of it.
He stacks it all to carry it away. And Bobby,
that's how country they are, though. I'm going to drive down to the dump.
Yeah. Bobby looks at Peggy and goes, "You lied, Mom." She goes, "No, Bobby, I came to my senses, all of them, except for taste," which is great.
That is funny.
You see Lenore get out in her out of her car. Bill comes up and goes, "Lenore, you came." She goes, "I wouldn't miss this for the world." "So whose birthday is it?" He goes, "Oh, it's mine." She goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, baby. I didn't get you anything." He goes, "Oh, no, that's okay. Your presence is my present, and I can't wait to take you home and unwrap you and then have sex." She goes, "Won't your girlfriend mind?" He goes, "I don't know. I'll ask her." And he looks around. And he goes, "Do you mind?" He's asking her. And she goes, "What?" He goes, "I dumped Ann Richards for you." "I'm dating a man who dumped Ann Richards? That's like me dumping Ann Richards. Why, Nancy Hicks Gribble, I hadn't seen you in ages. Did you hear that Bill dumped Ann Richards for me?" She just walks off.
Walks off.
Leaves Bill there. All right, so a little time passes later at the party. Bill is talking to Lenore. He goes, "Lenore, you know, I've been thinking. I never really got around to signing those divorce papers." She goes, "Oh, that's okay. I forged your signature. William in script, Dotrieve in block letters, just like you do." And she's over there, like, feeding Bill little pieces of food and stuff. He goes, "Oh, you know me so well." She goes, "I know your mother's maiden name, your Social Security number. What foods will kill you? If I didn't care so much about you, I could ruin your life."
Already has. You already did. Yeah. Yeah. Ruin it again.
And Bill, God dang it, Bill. He just takes such leaps so quickly. He goes, "Lenore, will you marry me?" I mean, just, again, not even thinking about how she just crushed him, you know, before. She goes, "Bill, it wouldn't work out. You live in Arlen. I live in, well, I probably shouldn't tell you where I live." And that, it, honestly, that's the best thing that Lenore said. Because, yeah, you shouldn't tell Bill where you live.
No, you shouldn't. No, she's smart enough to know that.
So a black car drives up. Ann Richards gets out. Bill goes up to her and goes, "Ann, I forgot to disinvite you." She goes, "Bill, I can't stay. I got to give you. I got to give the keynote at a Hell's Angels rally. I just came by to wish you a happy birthday." He goes, "No, you remembered." And then up comes Lenore. "Bill asked me to marry him." He says, "But you said you wouldn't even tell me where you live." She goes, "Bill, stop wasting the governor's
almost
time with your
coming
nonsense.
To his senses. Yeah, 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 almost. No
kidding." She goes, "Bill, stop wasting the governor's time with your nonsense." He goes, "I'm going to show Ann back to her car." Ann says, "I know the way back to my car. My driver can't seem to find the on-ramp for 35 South. And so he gets into the back seat with Ann. And he's talking to the driver, and he says, "I'll give you the short way. Take Rainy all the way until it dead ends at the field, and then you lift the chain, go about." Lift the chain? What does that mean?
I don't know.
I don't know what that means. If anybody out there knows what that means, let us know. He goes, "Until it deads in the field, and then you lift the chain, go about," and then you hear Lenore banging on the outside of the car. "What are you doing in that woman's limo? Get out of here right now and ask me to marry you, Bill." Ann says, "When somebody's serving up humble pie, why do you just keep going back for seconds, Bill?" And then you hear, "William Fontaine de la Dreamer." She's just banging on that car. Bill turns to Ann Richards and goes, "Ann, would you excuse me for a moment?" And then he rolls down the window, and you see Bill's big ass sticking right out the window at Lenore. And Ann Richards goes, "And while you're at it, blow her a kiss." I guess fart on her.
Yeah,
what you're saying.
Yeah, that's funny.
Bill says, "Does that mean we still got a chance?" She goes, "Nope." I mean, that was quick. He goes,
"Nope."
"Still, nope."
Yeah. She saw the red flags immediately.
Yeah. He goes, "But it does. But does it mean you've still got a chance?" She goes, "Now, can I give you a ride?" He says, "I live right here." And the driver just pulls right into Bill's driveway. And that is the end.
That's it.
We get our credits.
That's
so
the end.
Bill had a fling with Ann Richards.
Yeah, he
Lenore
did.
Lenore came back and he mooned her.
Ruined it. She ruined his chances with Ann Richards.
And to be honest with you, Hank mooning people was the least of the concerns in this show. I mean, this
literally
this
had nothing to do with the show at all.
Absolutely nothing to do with
it. We had more of a subplot with the charcoal than we did Hank's ass.
After the
I guess Hank's ass is the catalyst for the whole show.
Right.
Yeah.
After the credits, you hear Hank say, "I'm doing it. I'm a mooner.
I'm a mooner."
So that is episode 11 or 12 from season 5, Hank in the Great Glass Elevator.
And also, I went ahead and looked it up for you guys just to let y'all know. You can go to Spotify. You can go to Apple Music, wherever, and you could type in "Call Me Ann," the Ann Richards rock opera, and you can listen to it there. I'm sure it's
fantastic.
On YouTube if it's there too. So
that's wonderful.
Check it out. It is a feminist punk rock opera that tells the story of Texas Governor Ann Richards. It's a woman-led and
feminist
celebrates Richards' rise from small-town housewife to political icon. I couldn't get that out.
All right. Well, once again, guys, thanks so much for joining us. Yep. We really appreciate it.
We got something weird for y'all for Friday.
We
so
do
I hope
have
y'all
something
enjoy
weird.
It was kind of weird.
We had a live show We actually had a three-day event here in town, and we went ahead and did like a little live intro, basically. It's not a ton of a show, but yeah, it's a little bit of something, and then it's going to be followed by some music by the Flame Trick Subs.
There
so
you go.
It should be pretty cool.
Will that be on YouTube, the video?
Yeah, it should be.
Okay,
it should be.
There you go.
All right, guys, you want to tell us where they can find us?
Yeah, you can find us at bwaaakoth.com. That has all of our links there, or you could go directly to any of the social media websites and type in BWAAAKOTH, and you can find us there as well. You could also send us an email at BWAAAKOTH@gmail.com.
There you go. You can also call us and leave a message at 254-271-4007. That's 254-271-4007. Call and leave us a message. Send us an email. Correct us on stuff that we did. Whatever. We just love to hear from you guys any way you possibly can. So I guess until next time. Oh, by the way, go check out the Patreon if you can.
Check out the Patreon.
We've got to leave the lights. We've got to get the lights turned back on and all that stuff.
Also, I wanted to thank everybody in Romania. We're the 14th. Number 14th in our category in the country of Romania for TV reviews. We're in two categories in Romania, TV and film and TV reviews. We're 207 in TV and film, but we're number 14 in TV reviews.
I saw a list the other day, just because it listens to me, but it said it was a list of the top 10 King of the Hill podcasts, and we were like number 3.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Which is kind of cool because I think like 3 of them on there don't even exist anymore.
Yeah, so that's good.
But anyway, thank you guys for joining us. We really appreciate it, and we will see you again on Friday.
Oui, matanye.
Oui, matanye, indeed.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.